7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are going to be doing our reaction slash recap for week two in the NFL. And let's go ahead and start off with it, guys. How are you guys doing?
Living the friggin' dream, Josh. I missed you all week. Want to come here, see your beautiful face, give you a pinch on the ass, and get down to business.
I agree 100% with what Tim just said. Josh's booty's feeling pretty nice right now. You could tell he's been squatting. But let's get into the show.
First game we have Houston Texans going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Score was 13-9. The Houston Texans win this game.
Kind of a non-eventful game. You know, both teams were held to under 300 total yards on the offensive side of the football. It is the type of game that a lot of fans have complained about since Thursday night has come week to week. You know, the Texans were extremely banged up going into this game. They had four or five guys out with concussions and still missing their starting left tackle. But if you're a Texans fan and a fantasy owner of DeAndre Hopkins, you have to be happy with how Watson was targeting him in the second half of that game. It was pretty much just throwing him at the football every passing play, and they really didn't have any other options in that passing attack. But it was a big-time win for Houston. They needed this, and it was good for them to get Watson his first win and his first career start.
Absolutely. Watson's run, when I text you guys, Josh didn't watch it live, you mocked me afterwards, but I said was Michael Vick-esque. Not the way that he, you know, didn't do any fancy moves or anything like that, but his patience and his cuts and then his acceleration when he saw the opening was extremely, extremely impressive. I have been probably the biggest Deshaun Watson hater out of any of us. I am still not sure that he's the answer, and I think the Texans gave up too much to get him. But that's neither here nor there. A great win for the Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals. Jesus Christ. They are a train wreck. The best thing that could have happened to them was their offensive coordinator getting fired. Hopefully, whoever's taking over the play calling is going to solve this running back situation, because this inability to make a decision and make it have a go-to guy is affecting them. That's what I think their main problem is. They're just trying to have everyone involved, and it's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, there was a mutiny of sorts after the game, and they wanted somebody's head on a pike, and turns out it was the offensive coordinator. So what does this do fantasy-wise for one Joe Mixon and one Andy Dalton and another A.J. Green?
So like I told you, Josh, it might have been Tom too, I text you guys towards the end of the game with some of Joe Mixon's runs. And they weren't overly impressive. They were, you know, 4 yards here, 6 yards there, 8 yards there. He's on the precipice of going full throttle. He's right there. If he can get 15 carries a game, he's going to be able to take over. And I don't care if it's against the next coming up daunted Nitro Packers defense or who it's against. But he's going to get his, and once he does, he's going to fully take over this running back committee, in my opinion.
I think it's blatantly obvious if you know anything about football, if you've ever watched a football game, who the best running back is for the Cincinnati Bengals. It is Joe Mixon. He has looked the best. He looks hungry out there. When they showed a video of him at the end of that game, he was just on the sideline, like bouncing, ready to get in the game, had his helmet on. Two running backs were just whatever, collecting their big paychecks. They both suck. Mixon needs to be the guy. But if you have anyone in this passing attack for the Bengals, you have to be worried. Andy Dalton doesn't look like the same Andy Dalton. A.J. Green, Tim, you called it last week. You were expecting him to have that DeAndre Hopkins type just shitty season when he's came off from a huge season. And I could see that. He doesn't look the same. He's not getting force-fed the ball. Ross fumbled his first rushing attempt, his first touch in the NFL. Tyler Eifert doesn't look healthy. It's kind of scary right now if you're a Bengals fantasy owner in any way.
Eifert's got a shoulder and a back. Yeah. And the one thing I just want to repeat again for the third week in a row and all the weeks prior that we've said it, the Bengals' loss on the offensive line is the reason for these issues. Marvin Lewis is going to get fired for it, and Andy Dalton may get replaced by A.J. McCarron, even though McCarron today had a T.O. moment where he was talking about how Andy Dalton's his quarterback. I was laughing my ass off at that, a bunch of schmucks. But
on the other side of the ball, Lamar Miller had 18 rushes for 61 yards. Deonta Foreman had 12 rushes for 40 yards. Receiving-wise, though, Lamar Miller, 3 catches, 26 yards. And what do we think about that? 18-12 split. Rookie Deonta Foreman. What is going on with this Houston backfield?
I would expect that type of role to keep continuing for Foreman. He looked like the better back.
He showed life.
Yeah, he
finally showed that
he
life.
He looked very good out there. And you gotta expect that the Texans are going to be relying on their run game, especially with a rookie quarterback. And once they get Dwayne Brown back, who's still holding out, hopefully they just end up paying the man to get themselves a real left tackle. Hopefully those tight ends come back healthy so they're better than the third or fourth string practice squad guys they rolled out there last Thursday. But this run game is something teams don't have to worry about. They got a nice two-headed monster back there. Watson can run the football as well. But if you're a Lamar Miller or owner, you got to expect him to get a bunch of touches taken away from him.
Deonta Foreman looked great. And props to the Texans. I believe they only suited up one tight end and 3 wide receivers for that game.
Yep.
That's crazy to get the win on a Thursday night short week. Great for them.
Let's go on to another game. We have the Arizona Cardinals traveling to the Indianapolis Colts. Arizona wins this game in overtime, 16-13, and new starter at quarterback, Jacoby Brissett for the Colts. He had an all right game, 216 yards, no passing touchdowns, but one interception. And then on the other side of the ball, you have Carson Palmer, who threw the ball 332 yards, one touchdown, one interception. What are you guys' thoughts on the quarterback play for these two teams?
As a Colts fan, kind of have to be happy with how Brissett played. I think he's had 5 or 6 practices under his belt with this team. The Colts started off hot in this game and kind of fell apart in the second half. Putting that on the coaches, they failed to make adjustments at halftime, and the Cardinals made adjustments and came out the second half as the better football team. But you have to be happy with this Colts defense. They got torched week one against the Rams, a team not a lot of us thought would have that explosive an offense. But they had a bunch of rookies play in the second week and play a lot of snaps, and they looked good. Quincy Wilson looked good. Malik Hooker got an interception. That's what they brought him in for. Nate Hairston looked good playing in the slot. So they got a lot of good young players that are getting a lot of valuable reps right now. But I'm worried about the Cardinals right now. In all honesty, they should have came in there and beat the Colts pretty bad.
Yeah, should have blew them out.
And, with 3 rookies primarily playing in the secondary, you would have expected Carson Palmer to torch this defense. He did have over 300 yards passing. That mainly came in the second half on a couple huge chunk plays. They couldn't move the football in the first half at all. I'm worried about Carson Palmer. I think his time's coming near right now to an end.
It is. So the good and the bad for me. The Cardinals, I agree with you, they haven't looked great. But they started in Detroit and in Indy. So I'm gonna hold off judgment until I see how they play at home, especially since they lost their star running back, right? They're going to have to learn to adjust. They did a good job of splitting between Chris Johnson and Kerwin Williams. Even a couple other guys had some carries as well. But to your point, Bruce Arians has been worried about this team since the preseason, saying that essentially that they were garbage. So who knows? On the Colts side of the ball, I think the positive here is Brissett seems like he has a good relationship with Jack Doyle and is trying more than anyone else had in the week one to get T.Y. Hilton involved, which are huge. The biggest negative to me is Marlon Mack, after a decent week one, went out there and just looked like garbage. Didn't do really anything whatsoever. He had 6 carries for -3 yards. So everything that he built up in week one, he basically threw away in week two. So both these teams, it's going to be interesting. Tom, I asked you pre-show, and you kind of just said, I don't know what you want me to say. But in terms of Andrew Luck, you're the Colts fan here. You were at this game. Jacoby Brissett's coming along. Okay, whatever. But do you have a week in mind when he's going to start?
If I had to put money on it, it would probably be week 5 against the Niners. Got the Browns this week, then they travel to Seattle. I don't think they're putting Luck in against Seattle especially with a banged-up offensive line. Hopefully Ryan Kelly, the center, is back week 6. That's a possibility, but it's he'll be out another couple weeks, though, for sure.
Okay. On the receiving side of the ball for the Cardinals here, we have J.J. Nelson with 5 receptions, 120 yards, and a touchdown. We have Jerron Brown, not John Brown, because he was out of this game, 4 catches, 73 yards. And then Larry Fitzgerald, 3 catches, 21 yards, 6 targets. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we were all high on Fitz this week. Yep. I mean, every single one of us were, and it just didn't happen. Props to J.J. Nelson, you know, made the most out of the catches that he had. Quite a few big plays out of those 5 receptions, but I don't know what to say about Larry Fitz. I thought for sure this was going to be a monster game for him. It just didn't pan out.
Yeah, with J.J. Nelson, you go back to week 13 of last year, and him and Jordy Nelson have the most reception touchdowns. So him and Palmer have a nice relationship. He's finding a way in the end zone. He should have had 2 touchdowns in this game, but just barely missed or barely touched the outside of the back of the end zone. But J.J. Nelson, he's worth a flex option right now, a wide receiver 3 option in 12-team leagues in my eyes.
We're going to move on to the Eagles traveling to Kansas City against the Chiefs. We have the Eagles losing this game here, 20-27. Chiefs win. Carson Wentz goes out and throws the ball 46 times, 25 completions, 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, but he takes 6 sacks. On the other side, you have the great Alex Smith, 21-28, 251, a touchdown, 0 interceptions. Guys, some pretty decent quarterback play, some bad quarterback play with the taking of the sacks, but this game was pretty entertaining all the way through.
Listen, I don't know what the Eagles are doing, in all honesty. You brought in a lot of talent for Carson Wentz, but at the same time, you had this Carson Wentz last year. You know he can throw the ball around. Carson Wentz throwing the ball 46 times in a game should get someone has to run laps, someone has to get fired, something. You can't tell me that your top rusher is going to be Darren Sproles with 10 attempts. It's just not going to win you football games. They were able to stick around in this game because of Carson Wentz and his talent and what he was able to do with the wide receivers. But if this is the, if this is it for them, then they're going to be a 500 team. Just a fact. It's the way things are going to... LeGarrette Blount was brought in to pound the football and take the pressure off of Carson Wentz. Do that. End of story. 0 carries for LeGarrette Blount is blasphemy, in my opinion.
You know what running back's doing a great job at taking pressure off the quarterback? Kareem Hunt. He continues to dominate the NFL. Over 100 total yards on 16 touches and another 2 touchdowns. He's carrying fantasy teams right now. He's helping this Chiefs offense be a dominant offense. You got to look at Travis Kelce. He was extremely important in this game as well. 10 targets, though, 8 receptions, 100 yards, and a touchdown. That's the kind of numbers we were hoping to get out of Travis Kelce. That's why we were advising people that it was okay to take him in the 4th round, feel comfortable about it, and that he could put up numbers similar to a wide receiver 1. But Carson Wentz overall, the Eagles pretty much put the game on his back, and he kept them in this game. I was overall impressed, though, with him. That's back-to-back 300-yard games. Another 2 touchdowns, added in 55 rushing yards. I like what I'm seeing out of the young Carson Wentz.
On the other side of the ball, we have Alshon Jeffery, 7 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Zach Ertz, 5 receptions, 97 yards. Probably one of the easiest catches he's ever made in his life. If you guys didn't see it, it was pretty awesome.
Bounced it was super awesome.
Right off of his hand, the Kansas City defender. And dropped right into Ertz's hands. I thought he was going to score.
It didn't drop right into his hand. It bounced off the corner, and then Ertz literally threw the guy out of the way and caught the ball and ran it. The only thing that would have made it better is if he would have scored.
I wish he would have scored. That would have been sweet.
It was super awesome.
So, anything else from this game that you guys can talk about? Tyreek Hill, only 4 catches, 43 yards, 6 targets. Is he coming back to earth a little bit?
I think that's how it'll be all year. Kelce was kind of taken away in that Patriots game. It's kind of going to be boom or bust between those two. But Kelce and Hill are obviously the number 1 and number 2 pass-catching options for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So let's move on to the next game. We have the New England Patriots versus the New Orleans Saints.
guys, I told you last week when this game was brought up, I said Tom Brady's going to throw for 500 yards and have 5 touchdowns. And you guys were laughing. And
I'm still laughing. He didn't get that.
He didn't get it, but he was pretty damn close.
Not even close to
him. He had 450 yards passing just about. Obviously, only the 3 touchdowns. My point is that if I was a betting man, that's the game I would have bet on. There was never a doubt with how bad New Orleans secondary is. Apparently, they're now – they held a tryout with, like, 11 literally, like, street players who play DB. Like, that's how bad things have gotten in New Orleans. All the rumors are circulating now that Sean Payton's big time on the hot seat, that he's going to – I'm sensing a monster rebuild in New Orleans here very, very, very soon. Everyone's going to go. They just traded one of their former first-round picks for like a 2000 undisclosed 2018 pick. It's just bad news. The defense is atrocious. The offense can't seem to get things going. Brandon Coleman's one of their best wide receivers right now. Michael Thomas is irrelevant through the first 2 weeks.
I wouldn't say irrelevant. He's getting the top coverage.
Yep.
So
he's irrelevant.
He's still catching the ball 89 yards. It's still not irrelevant.
My point is it's not enough to make the team be successful. The team just looks bad right now.
Yeah, Ted Ginn Jr. is really helping.
I'm not saying he is. Did I say Ted Ginn is their savior?
No, they need another dynamic playmaker. They need
multiple dynamic playmakers. And they need a defense. 11 players on defense is what they need.
For me, this game went exactly how I thought it would go. Patriots came out, and they looked exactly like the Patriots.
And they threw a goddamn touchdown to Rex Burkhead, of all people.
I saw that
instead of giving him, like, 4 snaps the whole game. But, yeah, Brady, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter and passed for the most yards ever for a quarterback over 40 years old. Gronk kind of looked like Gronk out there. Did get banged up. You got to see how that groin injury does affect him. Mike Gillisley found the end zone once again. That's 4 touchdowns, 2 games already. He's definitely taking over that LeGarrette Blount role. But one thing for me, I was totally shocked that Brandon Cooks didn't light the Saints up in this game. I thought Bill Belichick would do it on purpose, just force feed him the football and show the Saints what they gave up. But impressive game for the New England Patriots.
I wonder if the Saints kind of thought that, and they had a lot of secondary go that way.
Gronkowski there, 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. James White, one of the leading running backs in receiving, 8 catches, 85 yards. Chris Hogan had a touchdown, 5 for 78. Rex Burkhead, like I said, 3 for 41, a touchdown. Brandon Cooks, nothing much going on, 37 yards. On the flip side, we have Alvin Kamara with 7 targets out of the backfield, 3 catches. I believe he out-touched the – but no, he didn't.
He
just
out-snapped him.
Yeah.
But...
Mark Ingram, 8 for 52. Adrian Peterson, 8 for 26. Just an atrocious – this is another running back – or another running back situation that this team has to figure out what they're going to do.
Honestly, in my eyes, unless you were a Patriots fan or you had a lot of Patriots on your fantasy team, the most impressive theme of this game was Tony Romo. Tony Romo in the booth again. I don't know if you guys listened to it. A ton more, just prediction after prediction again. Dude's fantastic in the booth. Props to Romo.
Next game, Minnesota Vikings going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Final score, Steelers 26, Vikings 9. We started the great Case Keenum at quarterback for the Vikings. Did absolutely nothing. 167 yards passing. Ben Roethlisberger, 243 and 2 touchdowns. And finally, Martavis Bryant, 3 catches, 91 yards and a touchdown. And Antonio Brown only had 5 for 62 yards.
Vikings offense, they look great week one. And they look pedestrian this week with Sam Bradford being out. It's kind of that late scratch. Was kind of struggling with knee issues this whole week, but it's kind of upsetting. I know a lot of people that rode Stephon Diggs to a week one win, but his value is going to tank tremendously if Bradford is not in the game. Le'Veon Bell's first time in his career that he had over 25 carries and didn't reach 100 total rushing yards. He doesn't look right. I don't think this Pittsburgh Steelers offense looks 100% right yet. Josh brought up the Martavis Bryant. Good to see him. He's still explosive. He's still able to score the football or score a touchdown anytime he touches the football. And then T.J. Watt was also injured in this game, kind of a big deal for him. A slight groin strain, I think, is what it was.
On the other side of the ball, Dalvin Cook carries the ball 12 times, 64 yards, a long rush of 25 yards. Jerick McKinnon got 3 carries. Latavius Murray got 3 carries as well. And then in the receiving game, McKinnon had 3 catches on 5 targets, and Cook had 2 catches on only 3 targets. Our fantasy owners of Dalvin Cook got to be worried now after that week 1, possibly with having Case Keenum maybe as the quarterback for another week. Would you be worried that maybe Dalvin Cook's stranglehold on the number 1 job isn't really all that people thought it was?
No, in all honesty, no. I'm not the biggest Dalvin Cook in this spot fan, but I feel like, if anything, he's just shown that he is going to get the majority of the carries. You know, the game kind of dictated that the Vikings had to get the ball in the air. You know, they were down 14-3 at halftime, so they had to, you know, kind of get things moving. And honestly, I think the Steelers' game plan, once they knew it was Case Keenum, was to stop Dalvin Cook in the running game and make Case Keenum beat you, because that's not going to happen in Pittsburgh. So I was, like you said, Case Keenum effect. I do hear that one Teddy Bridgewater is ahead of schedule. If he wasn't on the PUP list, he would actually potentially even be starting this week, because he's that far ahead of schedule. So good news for him. Hopefully Sam Bradford gets back in. I heard he's like a 60-40 to go this week. So
next game, we have the Bears and the Buccaneers. Final score of this game was 29-7, Tampa Bay's favor. And they come off of their great week 1 bye, Tampa Bay-wise, and they do what they need to do. Jameis Winston, 18 for 30, 204 yards, 1 touchdown. Not a lot of passing yards, but they really had this game in hand. Their defense played very, very well. Jaquizz Rodgers had 19 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown. Mike Evans looks ridiculous, 7 for 93 and a touchdown. And the Bears suck.
That's all I got. I laugh hysterically. I'm a Bears fan, of how much Chicago media, how many fans, I believe even you might have had it, Josh. Someone had it with the Bears covering, that the Bears were going to keep this close. There were a lot of people that had the Bears winning outright.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that had the Bears outright in this game.
I just don't get it. There's a difference between being an optimistic fan and being an absolute fucking moron. And if you thought the Bears were going to keep this game close, why? Because 5'3" Tariq Cohen played decent in week 1?
It's 5'6".
Whatever, man. they go in there with no wide receivers, losing their best linebacker, and a secondary that still can't do anything. This is the same exact situation as last year. The same exact thing. The only difference now is they have a young quarterback who people are clamoring for to get in the game. Let Mike Glennon go out there and get his ass kicked up until week 7 or week 8. If you want Trubisky, let him play the second half of the season. That's fine. When you're 0-8, let him go in there and take that beating, because there's no point in doing it right now. They've already announced Glennon the starter for Pittsburgh this week. They're not going to turn him around and play him against Green Bay on a short week. Maybe that long week when then they go into Minnesota, I believe. But I still don't know. I don't know. It's neither here nor there. This game was all Tampa Bay. They did everything that they had to do. They didn't show too much. They went out there, and it was a nice, easy. This was preseason game number 5 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bears are atrocious. They are a joke. Their secondary is horrendous, and Mike Glennon is a giraffe.
He is a giraffe.
The Bucs, in my eyes, came out and looked good. That week 1 bye kind of helped them a little bit. Their defense came out and made life very difficult for the Bears on offense. Mike Glennon really couldn't do anything in this game. Game got out of hand. Ryan Fitzpatrick saw snaps. That's kind of how this game ended up. That's good for the freaking Bucs right now.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, Jameis Winston look like they're on the same page. O.J. Howard, Cameron Burry both got 3 targets each. So it's kind of revealing. A lot of people were wondering what the tight end like situation was going to look like for this team. O.J. Howard drafted in the first round, so I'm happy with that. But if I'm a Jordan Howard owner, you have to be worried. 9 rushes, 7 yards, and Tariq Cohen continues to steal more and more touches, and he got banged up. So it's a little scary for you guys right now.
When we went over running backs preseason, you guys, everyone said, well, what about Jordan Howard? And I said, my fear with Jordan Howard is that he's their only option. They have nothing else. And the rebuttal was, well, that's all they had last year. Yes, but now people know what they're getting themselves into. You can't do the same thing over and over. The NFL adapts, especially year over year more than anything else. It's Jordan Howard is done this year. I'll tell you right now, I'm calling it. I'm calling it flatlined. 8:16 p.m. Boom, flatline. Done. He's over with.
Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills going to the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers win in a thriller, 9-3. Wow.
Both offenses struggled in this game. Both teams struggled protecting their quarterbacks. Neither team could pass or run the football. One of the uglier games of the week. But big time loss for the Panthers by losing Greg Olsen. It's only going to help the numerous other weapons that this team has on fantasy, though. Christian McCaffrey's going to get more looks. Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin. So those guys, their fantasy value is going to it's going to go up in my eyes. You have to be worried about the Buffalo Bills offense. Zay Jones, yeah, was it a drop or was it a crappy throw? No, I thought it was a worse throw than anything else.
Well, no, I mean, it was a bad throw. But it still hit him. It would have been a fantastic catch, but it hit him in the hands.
That should have been a touchdown. That could have changed this game, or that would have won the game for the Bills, pretty much. That happened late in the fourth quarter. But if you're a Carolina fan, you got to be happy with how that defense is playing. Cam Newton doesn't look like Cam Newton right now. You could definitely tell he's recovering from that shoulder surgery that he had in the offseason. But it's going to take him a couple weeks, probably midseason, until he looks to his true form, but overall a big win for Carolina.
Yeah, Cam Newton was 20 for 32, 228 yards passing. He had 5 rushes for 27 yards. Jonathan Stewart, 15 rushes, 40 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 8 rushes, 10 yards. And then in the receiving side, we have Kelvin Benjamin, 6 for 77. Devin Funchess, 4 for 68. Christian McCaffrey, 4 for 34. But like you said, Tom, I think with the loss of Greg Olsen, I think it is the benefit of Christian McCaffrey here. I think it absolutely has to be.
I agree with you. I think, you know, the Panthers are probably breathing a huge sigh of relief. Number one, to get that victory, you know, ended up pulling it out. But also, it was as bad as Olsen going down was, Newton got smoked.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, the end of the third quarter. And I thought he was hurt bad, in all honesty. I was very, very surprised to see him back in there. Just shows his toughness. And, yeah, I guess, you know, shocking. Jonathan Stewart, you know, has 15 carries. Christian McCaffrey nowhere in sight. So, the Bills actually have a pretty decent rush defense as well. So, not a season-defining game for anyone. The Panthers just squeak one out at 9-3, and the Bills are back to 500.
Tennessee Titans going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans win this game 37-16. Marcus Mariota, 15 for 27, 215 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And the running back that takes over the game is Derrick Henry. 14 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. DeMarco Murray ends up leaving the game with tight hamstring, I believe. 9 rushes, 25 yards, and Marcus Mariota also had 6 rushes, 24 yards with that as well.
This game started off great for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they had a 12-play drive, 6 minutes, and they got 3 points. You know, started the game off good, getting points on the board. And after that, the game went completely downhill. They gave up 30 unanswered points to the Titans, and the Titans looked like that team that a lot of people thought they were going to be this year. This is the type of game that the Titans need to play. Pass the football 27 times and run it 36 times, playing to the strength of their team. DeMarco got a little banged up, and Henry looked good. So, what are your guys' thoughts on Henry right now? Do you think he's going to continue to take touches away from DeMarco, even if DeMarco's 100%?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We talked about it this preseason as well, that Murray is in the last year that the Titans really have to worry about paying him. They're going to see what they have in Derrick Henry. He showed signs of life at the end of last year, and he's coming on strong here this year, 100%. If Murray misses a game, it might be one of those situations where his job is gone, would not surprise me whatsoever. So it just kind of is what it is. I guess I'm a little bit more worried about Marcus Mariota, in all honest with you. Hasn't looked like Marcus Mariota yet this season.
On the other side of the ball, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars, Leonard Fournette, 14 carries, 40 yards, one touchdown. And then Chris Ivory, 6 for 17. So thoughts on the rookie still this week compared to last week?
This type of game is what I'm worried about with Fournette. If he didn't have that touchdown, he would have had a really bad day. But he had 16 total touches, and a lot of that was because of the game flow. But on his rushing attempts, only averaged 2.9 yards per attempt. So we'll see. I'm not a big believer in this Jacksonville team, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of good game flow and good game outcomes for him to be super successful and him to be a number one running back in fantasy.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are gone after only one sack this past week, and the Garbage Time Warriors are back. Blake Bortles, I believe, out of all of his stats in the fourth quarter when the game was completely out of reach, over 100 yards, 9 for 9 and a touchdown. And like you said, Fournette, again, garbage time stuff where he picks it up. These are the Jaguars that we know and love. These are the Jaguars that make people in Florida want to pull their hair out.
Cleveland Browns heading to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Ravens win this game 24-10. We have Migraine Kaiser leaving the game with 182 yards passing, 3 interceptions. Hogan finishes the game for him, 118 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I believe it's already been announced that Kaiser will be the starter for next week.
Kaiser, came back.
Yeah.
Did he come back?
Yeah, yep. He came back in the game.
Threw 2 more interceptions.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Well, to be fair, I hate Kaiser more than anybody, but I don't feel like a lot of those picks were Kaiser's fault. A lot of those were errant routes. A lot of them were tip balls. And props to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I gave you guys the stat earlier. That through 2 weeks, Baltimore's wide receivers have 9 receptions. Baltimore's defense have 8. pretty insane number right there. Joe Flacco looking fantastic start of the year. And Buck Allen, my man, 14 carries, 66 yards, and more importantly, 5 receptions for 35 yards and a tutty. Is he for real?
My eyes, he took over that Danny Woodhead role. And we knew that whoever had that role was going to catch a lot of footballs. They're going to get a lot of usage. And that's his complete value right now, is being in that role. 19 touches this week, though, 5 receptions. This dude is a PPR beast right now, and he needs to be started.
Yeah, I'm just I guess I'm just leery if it's just because it was against the Cleveland Browns. I guess that's my only.
He had a good week one, though. Yeah.
Most snaps at the running back position, and I mean,
if Terrence West is really hurt and he's going to miss this week, then definitely I consider him as a high end running back 2, low end running back 1. If you really wanted to consider the PPR aspect, because if you look at Alex Collins is going to get carries, but he's not going to get the carries that Terrence West was going to get.
Very true.
So.
The biggest takeaway of this game for me was the loss of Marshall Yanda for the Baltimore Ravens. Best interior offensive lineman in the game right now. In my eyes, he will be gone for the season. This is going to hurt their offensive line. They've had numerous other big injuries this offseason. Guys retiring on that offensive line, and they are coming out and showing that they can still come out and produce. This team, they're going to be tough. Defense travels, and I think they're going to have another top 10 week this year for fantasy defensive purposes, going to London against the Jaguars.
Now, we've said over and over again, Isaiah Crowell and the Browns have a very good offensive line. But if they are not in the game, what value does Isaiah Crowell then have?
It's tough starting him right now. I benched him in 2 leagues last week against the Ravens. I made the right choice, but now he's going facing Indy, but surprisingly they've been holding running backs in check. Running backs are only averaging 2.4 yards per carry against them, so it kind of the question marks is benching him again.
Yeah, it's rough. I actually have that decision. Do I play Crowell against Indy this week, or do I go Buck Allen in London against Jacksonville? And I think I'm going to ride with Crowell. He's one of those guys, you know, it seemed like Duke Johnson kind of was starting to take things over there. You know, it scared me a little bit. He even had some rushes in there. He looked good. He actually looked real good. But at the end of the day, I think when it comes down to specific, especially like goal line plays, Isaiah Crowell is still their guy.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it right there because with Duke Johnson, I think we're going to see him more in the wide receiver role right now. We have Coleman, who is going to be on IR now with a broken hand. And is there another wide receiver on this team that is worth rostering in fantasy or worth throwing the ball to in general? You have Higgins, who they just brought up from the practice squad. They just cut, brought him up. You have Kenny Britt, who got thrown the ball to only twice. Corey Coleman had 7 targets, only caught the ball once. Lewis, who they have listed as their quote-unquote starter, only had 2 targets. So is it going to be Higgins? Is it going to be Lewis? A bunch of unknowns? Or is it going to be Duke Johnson, which I think that they may just throw him out in the slot and see what they have in him as a wide receiver. He did very well in the preseason, catching the ball out wide. So I think the Isaiah Crowell, I think he's fine where he's at. I don't think you have to worry about Duke Johnson. I think Duke Johnson's going to be a PPR guy from here on out, though. So those
like
are my
it.
Thoughts.
I like it.
On the other side, Ben Watson. He emerges with 8 receptions, 91 yards, and following a week where I think he only didn't even have a catch,
one,
right?
He had one catch. I thought he had one. I don't have it in front of me. But
Would you go out on the waiver wire if you're hurting for a tight end? Say if you have Gronk and he's questionable. Would Ben Watson be a person to think about picking up?
So I am hurting on the waiver wire, but or for tight end specifically. I have Tyler Eifert, and who knows what's going to happen to him. And to be honest with you, with all the craziness in Cincinnati, I don't know if I even want to try to play him. So I am going to be picking up a tight end this week, but it's not going to be Watson. There's a lot of other options out there in tight end. Tight end is pretty deep. We've talked about that at length. So I don't think that you can just go off of 1 week, especially with a team like the Ravens.
Next game, we have the New York Football Jets traveling to the L.A. Raiders. Score 45-20 in the Raiders' favor.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Las Vegas Raiders, sorry.
They don't need a third team in L.A.
Still Oakland.
Yeah, it's whatever. So the Raiders score 45, the Jets 20. Derek Carr, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns, scored pretty quickly in this game. And on the rushing side, we have Jalen Richard, 6 rushes, 58 yards, and a touchdown, which if you guys did not see that rush, it was pretty awesome. Cordarrelle Patterson, 3 rushes, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch, 12, 45, and 1, and he can dance.
Yeah, dancing apparently really upsets Jets players. This game was a lot more fun than I thought it would be, to be perfectly honest with you. Didn't get too out of hand, which I was happy about. The Raiders went out there. Did the Raiders just not like? I mean, I kind of guessed that this was going to happen, but they gave Marshawn Lynch kind of the week off. They said, "Hey, it's the Jets. We're gonna save you," and they gave him the week off. Are you nervous at all by this?
Kind of been calling that year the whole offseason right now, that this is how they're going to treat Marshawn. They're not going to run him into the ground. They're going to try to keep him fresh. They know that they're a playoff caliber team, and that's what they're going to be saving him for right now. But I think overall he's been pretty a big addition for the Raiders. Kind of brings that nice physical side, runs well behind that big physical offensive line. And if there is a game where they use him 20-25 carries, I think he's going to absolutely demolish people and is going to beat up the other team. It'll be interesting to see what he looks like in the playoffs. So he is older, you know. What I think he's only had 14. What he had 14 touches this week, and it was like 12 or 15 last week, somewhere in between there. But they haven't been using him, and it's smart in my eyes.
Michael Crabtree, 6 catches, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Good Lord,
man. What does that do for those Amari Cooper owners? Not happy.
It's gonna be frustrating, man. Last week, week one, I was excited that Cooper finally got some red zone targets. That's what he's been struggling to get, but he only scored 1 touchdown this week. Didn't get much love at all. Crabtree got most of it, but it's probably going to be like that most of the season unless Cooper...
Well, maybe
he needs to step up. Cooper needs to step up.
If he starts catching the ball in the red zone, that could probably change things for him.
Yeah, Cooper ended up the day with 4 for 33 on 5 targets. On the other side of the ball, the Jets. You have Matt Forte with 9 rushes, 53 yards. You have, and I think this is kind of shocking, Tim, Elijah McGuire, 6 rushes, 29 yards, and Belial Powell, 6 for 13. Matt Forte, 4 catches, 38 yards. And Curse. Four catches, 64 yards, two touchdowns.
I will be monitoring the Bilal Powell situation extremely closely. I'm rostering him right now. I'm not sure if I will continue to roster him for much longer, to be perfectly honest with you. Obviously, it all depends on where your other running back buys are. But he just is a non-factor right now. And with how much they're going to be down in pretty much every game this year, I'm not sure if it's really worth rostering him anymore. So that's something to definitely monitor. I'm not saying release him yet, but it's something to watch. Jermaine Kearse, though, is the big story here for the Jets. You know, at age 27, his sixth year out of Washington, he blows up. And we've always said that someone's going to catch the ball for the Jets. That someone's going to have the Quincy Enunwa syndrome. And is it going to be Robbie Anderson? Or I believe you were the one who predicted Jermaine Kearse, Josh. So props to you. It's a big day for him. You have him, you're friggin' thrilled.
Yeah, I went out and picked him up in two leagues. Didn't start him, because I started him in one league, but not in the other. I'm not that crazy. But I did feel, I felt it.
Yeah, I bet you did.
So, moving on, we have the Miami Dolphins going to the Chargers. The Chargers end up losing this game 17-19. Dolphins win. They hold on to spoil the LA Chargers debut. And Jay Cutler, 24 for 33, 230 yards. One touchdown, only took two sacks. Jay Ajayi, 28 carries, 122 yards. And the only other running back to get a carry out of that backfield is Kenyon Drake. So, one carry.
Yeah, if you're a Jay Ajayi owner like I am, you have to be thrilled that Jay Cutler's arm and the deep threats in the wide in the receiving game for the Dolphins are going to open up the field for Jay Ajayi. And he ran stronger than he has over the last three seasons. He looked great. He seemed at the top of his game. So props to him. Jay Cutler, typical Jay Cutler game. You know, had some decent plays downfield. Had a play where he threw the ball probably 25 yards out of bounds, literally into a group of cheerleaders. Like, that's how bad he is at times. And but good for him. You know, he Cutler and Rivers have a long-standing rivalry. They're both kind of whiny little bitches. Going back to Cutler's early days in Denver, they don't really like each other, so I'm okay with that. I like that Cutler's able to get the win, and the poor Chargers, you know, no one shows up for their first game in L.A.
Nobody.
More Dolphins fans than Chargers fans. Half the stadium's empty, and again, another heartbreaking defeat for the second week in a row.
Before we get to the Chargers, Parker had four catches, 85 yards on nine targets. Jarvis Landry, 13 receptions, 78 yards on 15 targets. PPR. Crazy amount of points right there.
You have to be super happy if you have Landry. His value went way down. I was seeing him in PPR leagues going as wide receiver 30, 36, completely as a wide receiver 3, so it's good that he was getting that kind of looks from Jay Cutler. A lot of people were worried about that. But with Jay Ajayi, a lot of people bashed him. A lot of people said, oh, all his production came in three or four games last season. Yeah, in all three, four of those games, his offensive line was 100% healthy. They weren't missing two starters. And this week, he was dominant. His offensive line is healthy, and they're all there. This is the type of numbers that he can produce when all those players are there. A lot of people don't take into account how valuable offensive linemen can be. And, yeah, Ajayi is a little reliant on that offensive line, but when they're healthy, he's going to be a stud, and he's a number one running back.
If the offensive line is able to stay healthy,
he'll lead the league in rushing.
He's going to be the rushing title winner. That's absolutely correct.
Either him or Tariq Cohen, I agree
Shut
with you.
On the
the other side of the ball, we have the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, 331 and a touchdown. Oliver is the leading rusher in yardage.
That's not good.
Three carries, 31 yards. Melvin Gordon had nine carries for 13 yards and a touchdown. At one point in time, he had six rushes for 0 yards and a touchdown. Thought that was a pretty crazy stat. And on the receiving end, Keenan Allen, 9 for 100 on 10 targets. Hunter Henry, 7 for 80 on 7 targets. What I thought happened, once Antonio Gates got that touchdown, they said, all right, Gates, adios, you're all done. Hunter Henry, it's your show. So pretty crazy to see right there. But Melvin Gordon did salvage some fantasy owners right there. Even though he had the touchdown, he had 7 catches for 65 yards to top on to his other numbers.
8 incompletions for Phillip Rivers. That's it. Only 8 incompletions. and they still lose. I mean, I don't like him, but I feel bad for him. Almost completing 80% of your passes, and you guys still lose the game. It's just proof that the running game was non-existent. Anytime you have a Brandon Oliver sighting, you know it's bad news.
Yeah, definitely not a good sign that Oliver was the leading rusher for the Chargers. And I really think the NFL having two teams in LA is going to be one of their biggest mistakes in the history of the league. Just not even being able to sell out a 30,000-seat stadium for a pro game is terrible.
Yeah, they said this the week one for the Rams and the week two for the Chargers combined attendance was still less than the Texas versus USC Rose Bowl game.
It's nuts.
Not good.
Not good at all. Moving on, we have the Dallas Cowboys going to the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos go ham.
Ooh.
42-17, a score I did not see.
This game was a one-sided ass kicking. Dallas, I really thought that rain delay was going to help them out, and it didn't. Dallas did not show up, and if you're a Cowboy fan, you have to be worried about this game. Elliott, 9 rushes, 8 yards. It's his worst game as a pro. Denver stacked the box, and they just dared Dak Prescott to beat them, and he showed that he could not do that.
I want to ask you guys this. What was more impressive, the Broncos' rushing defense or the Broncos' secondary?
I'd say secondary, because they were pretty much lining man up on a guy and shutting him down still. And with their defense, with their run defense, they were putting 8 in the box.
Now, I would say their run defense. No one's been able to do that to Zeke, ever. No one. And people have tried to do that. They played that like someone on that defensive side of the ball, like it was their sister who Zeke was whipping their titty out, and they were pissed off about it, and they shut him down. Listen, they said, you know what, go ahead. Like you said, Dak beat me. They let Dez do Dez. They let Jason Witten do Jason Witten. They didn't care. They played physical enough, and they shut down the parts of the game that they had to. So
Dak Prescott threw for 238 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and Ezekiel Elliott, 9 carries, 8 yards. I believe he had 2 yards going into the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. I
believe you are correct, sir.
Jason Witten, big game, 10 for 97 and a touchdown. Dez Bryant got a touchdown here, 7 for 59 and a touchdown. On the other side of the ball, this is another one I wanted to ask you. What was more impressive? Trevor Siemian going 22 for 32 and 231 at 4 touchdowns and an interception? Or C.J. Anderson going 25 for 118 and 1 touchdown?
To me, it was Trevor Siemian. Very, very impressive. He just showed that his ability to spread the ball out to different wide receivers, not to lock on one target. Obviously, it makes it a lot easier when you have a C.J. Anderson doing what he did.
Oh, I forgot. He also had 3 receptions for 36 yards and a touchdown as well.
But this shows exactly how dangerous Denver can be, you know, if the offensive line is able to stay healthy. Garrett Bowles went down. Thank goodness. He's actually only day-to-day from what I heard.
He was freaking out.
Everyone was like hugging him like he tore his ACL. It's only a bone bruise. So that's fantastic news. But no, I mean, when you have an even split between Thomas and Sanders, 6 and 6, and around 60, 70 yards apiece, not doing too much, Siemian looked like he could be like an Alex Smith type quarterback. A game manager, doesn't have to make the deep throw, make smart decisions, and let your running game do the work.
Yeah, CJ and Trevor both had lights out performances. Both of them look like stud and look like all pro players. But for me, their offensive line, just what they've been able to do, has been the most important part for this offense. They looked like they were the best offensive line in football in this game. I'm not a big time CJ Anderson believer, but he looked like the leading rusher in the league from last year, not Zeke Elliott in this game.
What did what are your thoughts on the Cowboys' defense, you guys? Obviously, week one looked good, but the Giants' defense looked atrocious in back-to-back weeks. Were they just that good in week one, or are they that as bad as week two? What are they?
Dallas kind of showed that they don't have much depth right now. They lost a couple key guys, and they didn't have anyone behind them to step up and play. They couldn't do anything in this game.
Yeah, I know they lost Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
And when that's a huge factor for you, losing a rookie like that, it's
starter,
not
though.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, great.
4 more games here. So we got the Washington Redskins going to the Rams here. Redskins 27 with the win, 20 for the Rams. Kirk Cousins, 18 for 27, 179 and a touchdown. Rob Kelly, 12 for 78, left the game. Samaje Perine, 21 carries, 67 yards. But Chris Thompson, 3 rushes, 77 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The 2 touchdown runs that he had were pretty impressive. One long run and one shorter run out to the side. And then in the receiving game for the Redskins, we have Jordan Reed, 6 for 48. Crowder, 4 for 47. Pryor, 2 for 31. Chris Thompson, 3 for 29. And Ryan Grant being a touchdown vulture.
This was my favorite game of the week, actually. I loved this game. I loved all the different areas of this game, the different, the different levels of this game with Kirk Cousins and what he brought to the game. Jordan Reed, him being in, being out, they were kind of running the offense through him. Rob Kelly looking great, and then when he leaves, Chris Thompson blows up, and Samaje Perine actually looks like, for the very first time ever in his NFL career, looks like a halfway decent running back. And then on the other side of the ball, Jared Goff looked okay again, which is good to see, and Todd Gurley finally looking like the superstar running back the Rams expect him to be. So I loved this game.
Jared Goff, 15 for 25, 224, and a touchdown and an interception. Gurley, like you said, 16 for 88 and a touchdown. And then Gerald Everett, 3 for 95. Todd Gurley, 48 yards receiving. Cooper Kupp getting thrown to a lot, 6 targets. So not bad.
No, not bad at all. I'm honestly just – my biggest concern is for the Redskins. If Jordan Reed's out, they showed once he went out, they're a different team. It slows them down substantially.
Moving on, 49ers going to Seattle. Another barn burner. Seattle wins 12-9. Hoyer, under 100 yards passing. Congratulations, you're terrible. Carlos Hyde, 15 rushes, 124 yards. Matt Breida, 4 for 35, receiving whatever for San Francisco. Moving on to the Seattle side, you have Russell Wilson.
Whatever.
It's not good.
Some in-depth analysis right there.
Well, 99 yards passing, not very good. Russell Wilson, 198 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Receiving-wise, you have Tyler Lockett, 6 for 64. Doug Baldwin, 6 for 44. C.J. ProSize, 3 for 22. And Paul Richardson, 2 for 19 and a touchdown. But the story of this game running back Chris Carson running the ball 20 times for 93 yards, putting the game on Chris Carson's shoulders at the end of the game and said, here you go, rookie, make this happen for us. And you know what he did? He made it happen.
You have to be worried about everyone on the Seattle offense besides Josh's boyfriend, Chris Carson. That offensive line is struggling. They are making Russell Wilson look like a pedestrian quarterback out there. He does not look like himself. I am shocked that Carson had that many rushing yards. You see some of the plays and just the gifts from this game, their offensive line. It's horrendous. It's probably the worst unit in the NFL right now. I'm shocked they put up 12 points. If the Seahawks did not have a world star type defense, they would be 0-2 right now.
We torched them all preseason for not addressing their needs on the offensive line in the preseason, and rightfully so. Like you said, all the gifts, everything just show that they are trying to get Russell Wilson killed.
Yep.
And he's going to get killed. I'm happy for you, Josh, that your boyfriend, Chris Carson, ran the ball 20 times for 93 yards. I'm proud of him. I'm sure you and his mom have in-depth phone conversations about how great he is. With that being said, I don't see that being the case for a long period of time. This game was a nightmare. The Seahawks should not be, I don't care if it's interdivision, the Seahawks should not only be winning 12-9 at home against the 49ers. It's a joke.
Sunday night game, we have the Nitro defense of the Packers.
Nitro!
Versus the Falcons going to Atlanta. Final score, Atlanta wins 34-23 in a closer scored game than the game actually was.
Yeah, it was only 34-10, I think, going into the fourth quarter. And the Falcons kind of just eased up a little bit more lax.
I saw a picture on, I believe it was Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and it was a picture of the score, and it was Aaron Rodgers smiling, and he goes, remember what happened last time, and it was another picture, and he's smiling again, turning his head a different direction, and then another picture, and he's getting blasted by I believe it was either Vic Beasley like earlier in the game, or it was Tack. So
it was like, you're up there this much, it would be a shame if, and then that's got killed. Yeah, it was pretty good. Listen, Ty Montgomery, fantasy wise, extremely relevant, but only 10 carries. The Green Bay Packers aren't going to be able to compete for an NFC championship if Aaron Rodgers has to throw the ball 50 times. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, but it's not going to happen. I know there were a lot of injuries here, but I still do not like that for him.
I feel like every time the Packers have to face the Falcons, they just have tons of injuries. They had both starting tackles out of this game. Jordy left early. Daniels got hurt. He's their best D-lineman. This team was just banged up even before the game, and then by halftime, they were missing two of their other best players overall.
Randy Cobb.
Rodgers was pressured, though, from the get-go. And right now, kind of have to say that the Falcons don't have a Super Bowl hangover like I was predicting. Their offense looks like the same offense from last year.
Huh.
We'll see if they can keep it up. Tim, your Super Bowl prediction of the Falcons getting back, it might happen. And they are 2-0 right now.
Also, the Nitro defense isn't anything to write home about. Former guy on the show, Mike, was all, oh, this is going to be like the Tampa 2. Everyone's going to be doing the Nitro defense last year. Shut up, Mike. Just shut up. No one cares about it. Well, you know that it's only two linemen, right? And there's six DBs. But yes, Mike, I know. I'm the one who told you about the Nitro defense, you asshole. It sucks. It's stupid. It works against shitty quarterbacks with no run game.
And that's why Freeman ran for 19 carries, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and Coleman had 6 carries, 42 yards.
Freaking turd.
So,
ouch. Nitro, Nitro.
Not a very good defense right there, so that's all I have to say. Although Kevin King did look a lot better than he did previously, so I'll give him a lot of credit with that. Moving on, Monday night game. The Lions, thank you for pulling this game off. 24 going to the New York Giants. The Giants lose with a score of 10, so 24-10 Lions. And let me just start off by saying, like, Matthew Stafford throwing the ball only 21 times is eye-popping, shocking, almost, and running the ball 32 times, crazy.
And not almost. When's the last time the Lions rushed more times than they threw?
Yeah,
it's been probably Barry Sanders was probably running back when that happened. Props to the Lions. Caldwell, who's been on the hot seat, been criticized numerous times, doing what he wants and turning this team around. They weren't healthy at running back last year. They appear to be healthy now. They look fantastic. Amir Abdullah on rushing and receiving looks great. It's a division rival for me. I'm excited for the Lions. I like Matthew Stafford, Georgia quarterback, finally getting the support that he needs. Their cornerbacks with Darius Slay, and I looked it up earlier. I'm going to look it up right now. They have the number one ranked cornerback in the NFL. Quinn is his name. Glover Quinn is the number one ranked cornerback in the NFL right now. So they have two corners that are able to shut some people down. Props to them. He's a free safety. Nevertheless, it's working out for right now for the Detroit Lions.
Right now, the Lions are committed to running the football, and that is because of Jim Bob Cooter. He will be a head coach next year, but he's a very smart offensive mind, young guy. But Abdullah, he's looked good so far, and I think the offensive line looks like they have grown, looks like they have gotten better, and they will only get even more better when Eric Decker comes back. He's on, I believe, IR, which he'll be able to come back midseason. But the Giants, on the other hand, holy crap. It is a shit show right now. That offensive line, them and the Giants offensive line, the Seahawks, give run for money with each other. Who's the worst in the NFL right now?
Quandre Diggs was the cornerback that I was thinking of for the Detroit Lions. To your point, Tom, the Giants and the Seahawks could combine their offensive lines together, and they would still be the worst offensive line in all of football. That's how bad they are.
Do you guys think the Giants should be reaching out to a team such as the Saints about Adrian Peterson or somebody
to
be a running back? Because Shane Vereen's not cutting it. Orleans Darkwa, Paul Perkins, come on.
If I'm the Giants, I'm reaching out for Mark Ingram, not AP, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... It's just, it's so bad right now. Ben McAdoo is already on the hot seat, him and his beautiful mustache, that Kenny Powers looking SOB. Evan Ingram's the lone highlight. Obviously, Odell came in and had some plays, but he only played in like 30 or 40% of their snaps, you know, just when they needed him. In that fourth quarter, Manning got murdered on a hit that Sterling Shepard ended up catching. I don't know how it wasn't a penalty. Drove to the ground, forearm to the throat. I mean, I don't know what else to say. There's no running game, and it's just awful right now in New York.
I do want to finish this game off with a Evan Ingram. Looks good. He had a touchdown, four catches, 49 yards. Tutty, what are your thoughts, Tim? You're an Evan Ingram hater.
I'm not an Evan Ingram hater.
I know.
You're a huge fan of his, and I'm happy for him. I'm glad to see him go out there and get the game. You know, you've always said going into the season here that he was going to play that wide receiver role, essentially, and go out there and be dominant, and it's happened. Listen, when Brandon Marshall only has two catches, you know, I don't understand how their numbers aren't even more inflated, because these should be extremely inflated numbers when you're only, you know, getting 10 rushing attempts, or 16 rushing attempts from three different running backs. It's not good.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think of. So, anything else on this game, guys?
No, pretty shitty Monday Night Football game.
I was happy. Won me some money. So that's all I gotta say about that. Biggest shocking performance out of a team and biggest disappointment out of a team.
I guess my biggest shocker would be, and it's not a huge shocker, but especially after Week One, the Titans handling the Jaguars. I thought it would be a lot closer. I didn't think they would go in there and absolutely just torch them like that. They looked fantastic and made the Jaguars look like the Jaguars again.
You, Tom? You want me to give you mine?
Yeah.
My biggest shocker was Dallas losing the way they did. Even Denver winning the way Dallas lost. That was my shocker.
Yeah, I agree with you.
My other favorite part of the weekend, too, was the Chiefs' performance. I don't think that can be undersold, just how good the Chiefs have looked through 2 weeks.
All right. That it?
That's it.
All right, guys. That's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed. We are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Check out our buddies on their sites, cleatgeeks.com, draftingsleepers.com, pristineauction.com. So go to those. Check them out. They do a bunch of good stuff. So until next time, we'll see you.